how long it will be before there is the realization of that in which you requested, we requested in song. Reality of God's presence. The Spirit of God poured upon us. Our singing, our praying, our preaching unctionized by the Spirit of God. How long, O Lord? Will you leave us in this dry, barren wilderness? None of us can answer that, but none of us dare do anything less than continually pursue after these things. Well, folk, for lack of better discernment, not fully knowing the mind and the will of God this morning, I will ask you to turn back with me to Revelation 11. I don't know if and when we will get back to the Song of Solomon. I did have further thoughts in verse number 2 of chapter 2 as Christ's church, Christ's bride, as the lily among thorns. But we'll have to wait and see and have better direction from the Lord to go back to that. I told you Wednesday if I am not discerning this to be the condition in which we are existing today, then I certainly do not deserve your attention in this or anything else that I might try to set before you. But surely our condition witnesses the reality of Revelation 11. Before we read, would you bow with me? Gracious Father, we have heard Scripture read describing our condition in the world, following its course, directed by the prince of the power of the air. We know the truth in that. We thank you for grace, mercy that has been bestowed upon us. For if anyone knows Christ in this dark hour, it speaks much of thy mercy and grace. And Lord, it seems as though the pit has been opened again. The very air which we breathe, spiritually speaking, has been darkened. By the pit being open. Lord, I know that these, and I myself, cannot continue apart from help and grace and mercy. I ask you to favor us again this day with thy mercy. Draw us. Open to our eyes again the fount, that one filled with Emmanuel's shed blood. And Father, help us and get us out of this pitiful condition, maybe even most of the time with an indifference to a suffering Savior. I plead with you for the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, for what feeble mind can present anything accurately, and what natural man can speak of spiritual things. Lord, it is not in us. So we plead for thy help. I beg you, Holy Father, fix the children's hearts. Get them beyond a preacher's words. And would you, in mercy, grant that we all might be confronted with a living Christ this day. I pray you'll help these dear souls. I pray you'll exalt Christ. And these things we ask in His name. Amen. Revelation chapter 11. Look, Wednesday, trying to, from other scripture, define more clearly the two witnesses, Acts 5. God given power, verse number 3. Unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Kind of like Elijah. The God, the living God, before whom I stand. And no man has any right to claim or ask for the attention of another human being unless he knows something of standing. Hearing from a living God and then carrying that message to his children. Verse 5 and 6, we saw the power, or mentioned the power, that these witnesses have. And these, with that power, it is impossible that any man hurt them. If any man hurts them, he shall be killed. But at the conclusion, or at the almost conclusion, when they shall have finished their testimony, can't be heard till the book shut up. Sealed up. Can't be heard until that they have to say has accomplished the purpose wherein God sent it. And then when their testimony is finished, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. The beast, Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. God already has to his servant John told you that the sea, the waters, a great multitude of people. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, serpent, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. All the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Chapter 17. Revelation 17, verse number 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth, every child of God, every last one dwells in the heavenlies. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. But all whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life will bear the character of a child of God. And if their name is not written there, the whole world, the remainder of all of them, follow after the beast. And it is the beast that has made war with the saints. Overcome them and kill them. And so here we lie. We looked in Ezekiel at the wheels and the Spirit of God over the threshold of the house, over the house, and the glory of God, the glory of the Lord filled the house, and then over the mountain, and the glory of God departed from the house of the Lord and was over the mountain. When you come to Revelation 11, remember Ecclesiastes 1:9. the thing that has been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. All God's providence is in a circular motion. Similar to that orbit of our world around our sun. So throughout the period or the history of God dealing with mankind, it's always been this. The beast overcomes the witnesses, kills them, when Noah was closing out the end of 120 years preparing and preaching, his witness was dead. It had no effect upon anybody. Preached 120 years, and no one was affected. His family got in the ark. We don't know whether or not his testimony had any effect upon any of them. All we know is Noah found grace. And Lot. The wheel has come in a complete circle. Lot's testimony is dead. The beast has killed it. Probably his wife, probably her in the nurture and care of the little ones. Let's move into the city. Get close to it. Better schools, better opportunity for our children. And so Lot moved from the well-watered plains into the neighborhood of Sodom. And the world, the beast, killed his testimony. And when he went to his son-in-laws to tell them that judgment was about to hit upon the cities in which they dwelt, he seemed as one that mocked. That's the way you and I seem to tell anybody about the gospel and about Christ. Lamentations chapter 2, right after Jeremiah. Noah's testimony was killed. When he had finished it, his witness became ineffective. Lot's was, Israel's was, the period known as the Dark Ages. The beast had killed the witnesses. Lamentations chapter 2, verse number 5. The Lord was an enemy. Doesn't sound like the God we hear about. Look what God's done. Verse 1, He covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in His anger. Verse number 2, the Lord swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob and hath not pitied. Verse number 3, He hath cut off in His fierce anger all the horn of Israel. He hath drawn back His right hand from before the enemy. Verse 4, He hath bent His bow like an enemy. He stood with His right hand as an adversary, and slew all that were pleasant to the eye in the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. God Almighty poured out His fury like a fire. He was an enemy. He swallowed up Israel. He hath swallowed up all her palaces. He hath destroyed His strongholds. And hath increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. He hath violently taken away His tabernacle as if it were of a garden. He hath destroyed His palaces of the assembly. The Lord hath caused the solemn feast and Sabbath to be forgotten in Zion, and hath despised in the indignation of His anger the king and the priest. The Lord hath cast off His altar. He hath abhorred His sanctuary. He hath given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They've made a noise in the house of the Lord, as in a day of solemn feast. The Lord purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He hath not withdrawn His hand from destroying. Therefore He made the rampart and the wall to lament, and they languished together. God turned to be her enemy. Redemption was accomplished at Calvary. Salvation is a continuous, ongoing process that will last your entire life. And the only ones that were redeemed at Calvary will be the ones that will pursue a life of holiness, of obedience, of service, not counting this in any way, but it will be a manifestation of what God did for them when salvation was accomplished. Your entrance into heaven will not be based upon a decision, will not be based upon a happening in your lifetime. Your entrance into heaven will be after a long lifetime process of warring. Fight the good fight of faith, that thou mightest war a good warfare. But we've all but laid down the weapons. There's not much fight left in us. We're not struggling against sin. We're not warring against doubt, unbelief, the evils all around us, the pressures of the world. We'd sheathed our swords. Salvation is gained by warfare. Between what's right and wrong, between good and evil, between hell and heaven, between Christ and the devil, you'll enter glory after a lifetime of warfare solely upon the merit of Christ, but all in Christ will spend their days warring. Satan and your flesh would have the upper hand, but the moment you stop fighting either of these or the world, it's the moment you start dying. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. For the faith in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might war a good warfare. The lazy professor thinks that all he's got to do is sit idly by. And you might attend to a few minutes of reading the scripture. You might attend to a time at the assembly. But it's a warfare. You and I are living in a generation that's sneering, mocking, at sincerity, at godliness, at disbelief. Well, man's too valuable a creature to go to hell. That's this generation. And God's too benevolent and kind and loving to send man to hell. And somehow or another, we've slid into this thinking that everybody's going to heaven. Not but a few. Listen to a reprobate. When all hope's gone, and he's hung over hell, he goes back to the whore and said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. Now listen to the professing church. What's that to us? And you say you believe the Bible, and you believe in heaven and hell, and the professing church out there sneers and says, what's that to us? It doesn't mean a thing. See to it. We're all going to the same place. Everybody dies. God's not going to send anybody to hell. If
nobody's going to hell. And if one sin in your life, be it thought, be it action, be it word, be it lack of action, if one sin in your life committed is overlooked by God, He is the greatest monster there's ever been to hang His Son on the cross. You're going to go to hell, and I shall too. If I've got one sin, if I face God with one unpardoned sin, God's going to say, get away from me. And religion said, well, no need of getting so uptight about that. Has no meaning, has no relevance in our day. Luther said, if I preach with the loudest of voice on every doctrine in the book except that which the world and Satan is attacking, I fail to confess Christ. You'll have to have a little age on you to have heard anybody speak about hell. We just didn't have that. I mean, back in my day, we did. In the early part. Eternal damnation. God sending somebody to hell. If God is holy, if God is too holy to look upon sin, if sin is an affront to God, none can escape the penalty, because you're guilty. Before you were 2 months old, you already were lying to your parents. I'm hungry. I need my diaper changed. You were telling mother something was wrong with you, and all you wanted was to be picked up and cuddled. We came forth speaking lies. We came forth with a deceptive and a deceived heart. There is none righteous, no, not one. And I'm going to hell. Because I've sinned against the holy God, and God's too holy to let sinners into heaven. So I am without hope. Undone. Even uncaring. Till God makes me alive. I worry about afterlife. On the downhill slope, I'm still young. There is a dread in me. I hope it's natural. Lord knows I hope it's natural. Of our young folks, some of them never getting grown.
And yet our testimony is dead. If I came into the world as a sinner, I pursued my own course in life. I followed the dictates of nature. I'm without hope. Unless Christ paid my debt. I have no hope outside Him. If He didn't pay to God the last pence that I owe, then it'll be reckoned to my account to pay for it. And if the blood streaming down His face and His eyes sunken in His head, and that face black and blue, unrecognizable as a human being, and the garment put on a back that had been beaten with the cat of nine tails, taken off, put back on, and the wounds reopened and closed and reopened again. If that blood streaming down His back wasn't for me, if when Jesus Christ said, cried out with that voice, if that wasn't my eternal thirst being paid for, I'll cry out in hell for a drop of water. And if that cry that you and I can just roll over a little in our mind but never get to it, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? If that wasn't in my behalf and your behalf, God's going to cast you into hell. And the devil's going to be laughing. And this generation says, so what? I don't believe in hell, therefore hell's not real. I don't care whether you believe in it or not. It's real. So what? What's that to me? It's going to be this. If some of you don't hear me, you're going to be like the rich man who for the first time ever at death looked outside himself when he lifted up his eyes. That doesn't mean he looked up. For the first time ever, he looked outside himself. The witnesses, dead. Folk, and this is the true church. This is us. We just got a dead carcass lying in the street. Now that doesn't mean that every individual in Christ is dead, or that the life of God in your soul is dead. It just means we as a people have a lifeless corpse. It means we as a people can't affect one single solitary soul. And grief here is that it doesn't matter what I say. Some of you are going to walk out and never give due consideration God said in Zechariah 12, I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look on me, whom they have pierced. You can't think lightly of Christ Jesus if you ever see the stripes on his back and the crown of thorns on his head and the blood flowing. If you can't see that the nails in his hands and feet were put there by you, you don't have a Savior. He died in your stead if you're a child of God. If you're a child of God, you'll look on him and see you're the one that pierced him. He died in my place. And he is the least thought of being in the world. Now listen to our text. And the beast shall make war and overcome them. We lay down our weapons because the world has ensnared our lives. Most of you don't have 10 good minutes a day to give to the Lord. For the beast has made war with the two witnesses and overcome them. If we don't get back on our feet and overcome the world and flesh and the devil, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God? Revelation 7 times to 7 churches to him that overcometh. And all of them died. There's not a church in Asia Minor. They're all buried. Young lady, woman from out of state, broken, said, tell me what to do. I don't have a church. I can't find a place. I said, you can't do anything. I'll sell everything I got. I said, just hold on. Wait till you know what you're supposed to do. To him that overcometh
Children, the inheritance of God is laid waste. God's drawn out His sword. We made such careless views and such careless use of Christ and the cross. Even the wise virgins are asleep. And without the Spirit of God in life, I don't want to go on. I want to go on personally. I don't want to go on publicly. And I've cried for grace and I cry for strength to come back one more time. Without the Spirit of God enlivening and overcoming within us, the so-called work of God goes on unimpeded in our nation. And our nation's hanging over hell. And yet so-called churches are increasing in wealth and number. And it's attractive to you. You think God must be there, or they wouldn't have the numbers. God must be there, or they wouldn't have the riches to build and keep on building. Spiritual life is so different and so far above the power of nature. Nature can't inspire it. Nature doesn't want to inspire it. But nature can go a long way in imitating spiritual life. See, you can read your Bible and say a prayer and you think that's spiritual life, when it might not be anything less than nature imitating. It can imitate, but it cannot create the principle and the reality of faith. It can produce a resemblance of faith, and a lot can be carried on without the Spirit of God. When Jesus came on the scene, the witnesses were dead. But they had their synagogues. They were making their converts, compassing land and sea. And every convert that they got, they made them twofold more, the children of hell. And there's a great multitude out there that you will never be able to reach because they've already been sealed up. Folks, this is more serious than I can ever express in words. The awful cost. I feel like a preschooler trying to tell you about a college course talking about the death and sufferings of Christ. And I hope it is not so, but I fear it may be in many. What is that to us? You see to it yourself. And a reprobate had a guilty, condemned conscience, and the harlot had already been overcome by the beast. But here, it's the true church. May God have mercy.